fantastic New Testament book. We've got a couple more weeks to go. Although we could probably spend 6 months. I actually preached a series on spiritual warfare one time that took 6 months. But we're going to try and condense that this morning, if you can believe it, into one session. But we're trying to make our way through this book. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. How many of you know what an oxymoron is? You know, an oxymoron is a figure of speech in the English language, which basically takes two contradictory thoughts or ideas and puts them together. Something like jumbo shrimp, or unbiased opinion, or pretty ugly. Okay, that's an oxymoron. Well, I'm going to give you my top 10 list of funny oxymorons this morning. At least they're funny to me. For those of you who've done traveling, you'll appreciate this one. Coming in at number 10 is airline food. Number 9, for all of those of us who live from somewhere else, resident alien. Number 8, self-help group. Ever figured that one out? Self-help group. Number 7, legal brief. Right. I may be touching on toes here this morning, but anyway. Number 6, business ethics. Number 5, religious tolerance. Well, we're not laughing, are we? Number 4, government organization. Number 3, military intelligence. Number 2, honest politician. Ouch. And number 1 for the all-time hit list. Techies will appreciate this one. Microsoft Works. Anyway, so much for my attempt at humor. Thank you for putting up with me. Amy, you'll be glad to know they weren't puns. Thank you, thank you. Do you know what the all-time saddest oxymoron is? The saddest oxymoron of all time has got to be defeated Christian. Those two words were never meant to be together. They are meant to be the farthest apart. And yet, unfortunately, they describe what many have as their regular experience. God designed us for victory. Jesus died for us for victory. The Holy Spirit lives within us for victory. That's God's plan for the Christian. Unfortunately, many believers are defeated in their day-to-day life. One witch said, you know, I can resist absolutely everything except temptation. Sad as it's funny. We come to a passage today that reveals that there is a battle that is raging for our soul. The battle goes on from the day we are born until the day that we die. And although many believers are sidelined or wounded severely in this all-out war, the passage we look at today reveals that spiritual victory is ours for the taking. It's in Christ. It's available. And that's what we're going to celebrate and look at this morning. Are you interested in having that kind of spiritual victory? If you are, then turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's follow along these verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Lord Jesus, we ask that as we look into this powerful passage of Scripture, that you will help us to understand it this morning, but more than that, that you will help us to experience this dynamic victory that you designed, created, and enabled for every one of your children. Make it our experience today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you take a look at the sermon outline in your bulletin, you're going to see the high points of this message. It's actually summarized by Paul in the first verse of this passage. There we see our strength. He starts by saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We see our security. He then continues to put on the full armor of God. We see our stand, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And we see our struggle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You probably noticed that I've got them in reverse order in your bulletin. The reason I did that is because that's where most of us start. We start with our struggle. That's what we're most aware of, and so that's what we're going to start with this morning. Everybody I have met is very much aware of their own struggle. We know our own weakness. We know the own battle for our own soul. We know our own burdens. We know our own temptations. We and God know that. We're very hesitant to share that with other people, even though we all are tempted similarly. But nevertheless, we know what those things are to us. But our tendency in handling the problems of life, in that we tend to focus on the visible, on the physical, on the here and now issues, on the people and the problems that bring us pain. That's where we think our attention should go. And we have this strange idea that if we could just remove those people or those problems, we would be really free. We would be really happy. What we often don't realize is that the people and the problems in our lives are just like puppets on the string of the mastermind seeking our downfall. Paul distinctly says in this passage that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not. It is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, those people who get under our skin, those people who bring us grief, those people who inflame our anger and draw us into sin and believe untruth and fight against us, hear me, friend, these people are not the enemy. These people are victims of the enemy. And if we could just see that, it would revolutionize our human relationships. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies. Why? Because they're not really your enemies. They are captives of the enemy. Love them. And through your love of them, you might break that bondage and allow them to come into the freedom that is ours in Christ. They are not the enemy. The devil and his demons are the enemy. Now, dear friends, hear me. I realize we come from a broad spectrum of backgrounds, and I must deal with this head on. The devil and his demons are not just religious concepts. They are not just the sum total of evil. According to the Bible, they are very real, created, angelic beings who chose rebellion against God over willing service to Him. Since their banishment from heaven, and until they are cast into the eternal lake of fire, their purpose is to get back at God. And the primary way that they do that, at least in our sphere, the primary way that they do that is by stealing from, by killing, and destroying people. That's their purpose. And by so doing, they are taking their stabs at God. They will use and manipulate all that is material, metaphysical, and moral in order to achieve their goal. And whenever they see a human being anywhere responding to God's grace, whenever they watch a human being repenting from their sin, whenever they watch a human being returning to God's embrace, they are infuriated because it goes directly opposite to their purpose. And as a result, they will do whatever they can to keep human beings away from God's love. They will do whatever they can to thwart our spiritual progress. You think if you're resisting God, if you're not allowing Him freedom in your life, you just think that's your choice? It's not. There is somebody behind the scenes working overtime to keep you away from God. They don't want you to know His love. The Bible says that these demonic hosts are ranked like an army with rulers and authorities, powers and forces. They have different tasks and territories, both in the seen and the unseen worlds. Now, if we are ever to experience victory in our ongoing struggle in our life, then we have to know who our enemy is. Would anybody start up a business in any realm of industry without first knowing what the competition is doing? How can we begin to fight a battle if we don't know who we're fighting? We have to know our enemy. But as tough and as formidable as the demonic forces are, we don't have to back up. And we don't have to lay down. We don't have to be defeated. 4 times in 3 verses, we see the posture of the believer is one of standing our ground. Take a look at verse 11. There Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your what? Your stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 13, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. Verse 14, stand! Stand firm then! Stand! You know, there's a movie, it was released a couple years ago, called Last Man Standing. I haven't seen it, but I remember the title, and so I looked it up on the internet this week, and this is an overview of it. Apparently, it's a gruesome action movie about one man who takes on rival mafia mobs and single-handedly demolishes them all. Even though bullets are flying every which way, the hero, at the end of it all, is the last man standing. Now, excuse me for borrowing imagery from the secular world, if you will, but if we can use that imagery this morning, Jesus is reminding us that in our spiritual warfare, the last man standing is not to be Satan, as powerful as he might be. It's not to be the demon mobs who keep dropping you on your face with that awful temptation. It's not to be the territorial spirits who for centuries have kept people in blindness and bondage. God has made it possible for the last one standing in glorious victory to be you, his child. That's what he designed. And how is it possible, you may ask? How is this kind of security possible when we are up against such formidable odds? Because the battle we are in is not one of this world. Because the battle is not one of flesh and blood, not of this realm, it stands to reason that our weapons for war are also not of this world. You can't shoot Satan with a gun. You can't slice demons with a laser. You can't demolish evil with an atomic bomb. But we can beat them at their own game. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, he says, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. Now, what is this supernatural armor that enables us to stand firm and conquer? What is this that God gives us, this equipment, this spiritual equipment that He gives us that enables us to live in absolute victory? What is it? Well, Paul describes 7 pieces of armor. The first one he talks about is the belt of truth, which is to be buckled around our waist. Now, in that day, the belt of armor covered the loins. It covered everything between the bottom of the rib cage and the hip bone. Now that's where most of our vital organs are in the human body. Most of our digestive tract, if not all of it. It contains the soft tissue and is very, very vulnerable in battle. Just like, I might say, our spirit is very tender and vulnerable to error. I know a lot of people who think, oh, I couldn't be deceived, I'm too smart. Well, the moment you think that, you're flat in your face. We are all vulnerable to error. When we eat junk food in our bodies pay the price. In the same way, when we take in the sweet morsels of deception, ungodly philosophy, and erroneous information, we suffer devastating consequences in our life. If we want to stand strong against Satan's destructive schemes, we must protect ourselves with truth. God's truth. Satan, the Bible says, is the father of lies, and he will seek constantly to infiltrate our spirit with deception. The world is full of lies at every level, and many of them, unfortunately, appear to be winning. And that's what often discourages God's people. We say, why should I live for truth? Why should I live for when, look, they're lying and they're getting ahead? Well, dear friends, please remember, you got to see the big picture here. Truth will always prevail. Lies will always come down eventually. They may last a long time. They may look like they're prevailing. But according to God's word and according to history, truth always wins. So God says, my children, search for truth. Find the truth. And stand firm in truth in every realm of your life. The breastplate of righteousness is the second piece of armor that he describes, and this covers the area of our heart and our lungs. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of your heart flow the issues of life. You see, if any sin is allowed to remain inside of our lives, it's almost like sludge blocking the arteries of our soul. And if you know anything about the body, you know that sooner or later, when the arteries clog up, the heart will shut down and destroy us. We must get rid of the sludge in our life. If you move over to the other illustration of our lungs, our physical lungs breathe out the old impure carbon dioxide, and then they breathe in the life-giving oxygen. So is the similarity in our spiritual life. Our spiritual lungs are to constantly breathe out our impurities by confession and breathe in the forgiveness of Christ. I appreciated how we were led this morning in prayer. A prayer of confession gave us time to do just that. Now let me get real specific with you this morning. When there was silence and we were doing that, were you just waiting for the next item on the agenda? Were you just waiting for him to keep going, or did you take the time and do what we were being led in? Did you take the time to let God examine your heart, expose what was wrong, confess it to him as sin? If you did, that's spiritual breathing. Lord, I'm sorry, I sinned here. I breathe in your forgiveness. I'm clean. Hallelujah. God has given us the freedom, the privilege of coming to him regularly in confession and repentance in order to receive forgiveness and cleansing. That ought to be the daily mode of the Christian. Because when we do that, that's how we obtain righteousness. I tell you, if you and I try and stand before God or try and stand in this world in our strength, in the strength of our righteousness, we're flat on our faces. We can't do it. But by regularly confessing our sin, drawing in his forgiveness, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. It is his righteousness that is our breastplate. Wear it proudly, wear it joyfully, and you will be secure. The boots of preparation are the third piece of armor. He says there, your feet are to be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Roman soldiers in that day were involved in hand-to-hand combat, and so they needed very firm footing. Any slipping or sliding could mean the loss of their life. And so we too are to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope that is in us. So says Peter in 3:15. If somebody were to come up to you this afternoon and say, you know, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yeah. Could you please tell me why you're a Christian? Could you please tell me why you have this hope of eternal life? Could you please tell me how you got your forgiveness of sins? Why you know you're going to... Could you have an answer for them? Could you please tell me what's the difference between your faith and mine? The Bible says, be ready. Be ready. Have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It means preparation. It means study. It means getting into the Bible and finding out. It means getting to the place where we understand the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, some of you I know are just on the outer edges. Not of the outer edges of the crowd this morning, but on the outer edges of your faith. You've heard, you like what you're hearing, you're kind of just sampling the water. That's okay. But if you want to be strong, you've got to venture in and find out what this is all about. Just this week, Pastor Bill shared with me some of the reports that are coming out of the leader training from our small groups, and I was so excited to read this. These people who have been spending these last number of weeks in preparation, in putting on the boots, so to speak. I read these reports of what's going on in their lives and their ministries, and talk about exciting, thrilling. Many of them feel like they're on a whole new dimension in their Christian lives, a whole new dimension in their ministry. They're pumped. They're excited. Can I suggest to you, if you need preparation in your life, plug into the small group ministry. Find a place where you can get on the boots of the gospel of peace and get prepared. The fourth is the shield. The shield is that movable piece of armor that can cover any and every area of attack. And that shield, the Bible says, is our faith. And by that shield of faith, we are able to quench all of the flaming, tempting arrows of the enemy. All of them. Now, where do we get that all-purpose shield of faith? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. Our faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's where it comes from. You can't get it anywhere else. It's not something you inherit. It's not something you purchase. It's not something you pick up as an accident. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. How often are you hearing the Word of God? If you're only getting it once every couple months or once a week, can you imagine feeding your body that often and trying to be healthy? Good luck. If you want your faith to be strong, if you want your shield to be strong, to be able to knock off all the tempting arrows of the enemy, you've got to be regularly feeding the Word of God into your mind, into your heart, and thus building your faith. Now, I know some people say, but Pastor, I find reading the Bible boring. I don't get a lot out of it. Once in a while, something sparks my interest, and then the rest of the time, it's boring. Well, you know, I remember growing up and my mom saying, eat your vegetables. I was saying, but I don't like vegetables. It doesn't taste good. What did mom say? Eat them because they're good for you. They're good for you. You mean they taste like yuck and they're good for me? Well, you know what I discovered after all these years? Now I'm swinging over. I must be old age or something. I'm swinging over into vegetables all the time. Greens. All the stuff that's supposed to make me healthy. Why? Because it's good for me. It builds up the body. It's life-giving ingredients. Does it always taste good? No, sometimes I gag. But it's good for me. Now sometimes, as you read the Bible, it's going to be plain as dust. It'll be mere information. And you wonder, what am I doing this for? Dear friends, read the Word of God. Get it into your mind. Get it into your heart. Feed your soul. And you will build up the shield of your faith. Read it and heed it. The helmet is the most expensive piece of armor because it covers the most important part of our body. The helmet of our salvation is free, but it sure wasn't cheap. It cost Jesus everything He had to purchase our salvation. And the Bible says, reminds us that if we're believers, we are not our own. We were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He owns us. We're His. And that truth needs to penetrate into our mind, into our thoughts, into our heart. It needs to revolutionize our thinking that I'm no longer mine. I am saved. I am redeemed. I am purchased back from the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of light because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let that truth sink in. And wear that helmet. Christ's salvation covers and protects our head, which directs every part of our life. Then it gets to the sword of the Spirit. The sword is the offensive piece mentioned in this list. All the others seem to protect us from evil. They are defensive. But the sword of the Spirit is offensive. We strike with it. And the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. This is what we use to effectively resist the devil so that he will flee from us. The picture of the scene. I love getting these images of this kind of stuff. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to people like you and me. Here's these little old people, or young people like you and me, little peons walking this ball of mud. We feel so inadequate, so weak, so insignificant, so assaulted sometimes. And God says that we can cause the mighty devil to tuck his tail and run for cover. Does that excite you? Yes. How do we do it? How? We stick him with the sword. And what is that sword? It is the Word of God. You say, well, I don't believe the Word. Doesn't matter. Ugh. I don't like your sword. Doesn't matter. Ugh. It works. I know people who don't even believe it and it works. God honors His Word. His Word is truth. It will stand the test of time and eternity. You remember when Jesus was tempted in the garden? He was tempted everywhere. But remember when He was tempted in the desert after His baptism? The devil came to Him and threw these horrible temptations at Him. Records three that summarize all temptation for all of us in the areas of our lives. Now Jesus, if anybody could have basically said, Satan, get out of here. I'm Jesus, remember? But He didn't. He said, Satan, it is written. Satan, it is written. Jesus took Scripture that He had meditated on, that He put into His mind, put into His heart, and that was the weapon He used to stick Satan and cause him to run for cover. And it is the same strategy that will work for you and me. I tell you, you think after 31 years of being a Christian, I should be pretty strong, shouldn't I? I should be able to just take on temptation and handle it. Every single time I try and handle temptation, even though I've been a Christian for that many years, and though I've been a pastor for I don't know how many years, and even though I've tried to walk with God all these years, when I try to handle temptation in my strength, you know what happens? Flat on my face. I can't do it. I need the protection of God's armor, and I need the sword of the Spirit to get rid of Satan, and so do you. But thank God He's given us the sword. He's given it to us. What do you struggle with? What's the temptation you face? You troubled with fear? Fear grips you? It won't let you go? Satan's there and all around you, and he's bringing this fear to bear in your life? Stick him with the Word. Satan, in Jesus' name, get out of here, because God has said, do not fear, for I am with you. Be strong and courageous, for I will be with you. Therefore, Satan, in Jesus' name, get out of here. Go. Stick him with the Word. What do you struggle with? Struggle with lust? That temptation that just nails you, comes at you repeatedly? What do you do with it? Just try harder? I'm going to be good today? Doesn't work. Satan, in Jesus' name, get out of here, because the Bible says I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look lustfully at a girl. Go away. Satan, go away. God says thou shalt not commit adultery. And not just with my head, but also with my heart. In Jesus' name, go away. Satan, I am a living sacrifice unto God. I refuse to use this body with Christ as redeemed for those purposes. It is given unto Him. Therefore, in Jesus' name, go away. Stick Him with the Word. It's the only way we're going to stand in victory. Whatever your area of temptation is, find verses in the Bible that deal with that. Fortify your soul and use it as the weapon in your attack against it. And you can stand your ground. Amen? That's how to do it. Satan backs off from nothing but the absolute truth and fact of God's Word. But he does indeed. He must back off from God's Word. The last thing mentioned that enables us to do battle with hell and win is prayer. This is much too important to cram into a few minutes here this morning, so we're going to take next week and look at that specifically. And again, we could spend years trying to examine this topic, but please come next week with a desire to learn more on this issue of prayer and how we can use that to beat back the forces of hell. God has promised that through prayer we will not only be safe, but we will actually be able to strategically enter into Satan's territory, demolish his work, and take back that which he has stolen. Does that interest you? Does that excite you? Well, more of that next week. All of this truth here this morning leads us to one great theme, one majestic theme, one great truth, one great reality. We are to be strong. Where? In the Lord. That's what our strength is. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty strength. In His might, in His ability. This is what leads us to victory. You may have mighty muscles, you may have stacks of cash, you may have a powerful position and feel like life is all together. But dear friends, if you do not have God's armor on you every day, you are running naked and defenseless in the battleground for your soul. And you're in dangerous territory. But God has given you armor that can make you strong and make you stand. Over 100 years ago, A.B. Simpson wrote these words, but they are as up to date as right now. There's a battle raging in the heavenly places, sin and death and sickness with Satan leading on, with the hosts of earth and hell arrayed against us. How in all our weakness shall the fight be won? Jesus giveth us the victory. He who overcame on Calvary overcomes again in you and me. Hallelujah. Jesus gives the victory. Faith can hear our captain calling from the heavens. Courage, brother. I have overcome for you. Fear not. I am with you. I will never fail you. Trusting in my promise, you shall conquer too. We are led by one who never lost a battle, and our adversary is a conquered foe. We are more than conquerors through our captain's triumph. Let us shout the victory as we onward go. Let us take the victory over Satan's kingdom, over sickness, sorrow, self, and sin. Let us bear the banner o'er the lands of darkness till the foe's last stronghold we for Christ shall win. Jesus giveth us the victory. He who overcame on Calvary overcomes again in you and me. Hallelujah. Jesus gives the victory. Paul wrote to a young pastor called Timothy, and he told him these words in 1 Timothy 1:18. Fight the good fight of faith. You know why it's a good fight, dear friends? You know why it's a good fight? It's a fight, but you know why it's good? Because we win. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, that was your design for us. That was your plan for us. That is your equipment for us. Oh God, forgive us for living out the saddest oxymoron of all time. We want to be defeated Christians. We want to be victorious in every area of our lives. And so we ask you this morning, oh God, to enable us to follow through on what we've learned by your Spirit this morning. Help us every day, Lord, to put on that helmet of salvation and remind ourselves that we are your blood-bought creatures. Help us to take that breastplate of righteousness and confess any known sin, getting rid of it, breathing in your forgiveness, and standing in your righteousness. Help us, Lord, to gird our loins with truth and refuse any deceit, any error, any lies, any falsehood into our lives, but stand on truth. Help us to search for truth, to get your word into our minds and into our hearts and live by it. Help us, Lord, to prepare our lives and have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from understanding and knowing the gospel. Help us take that shield of faith, building our faith regularly by the coming in of your word into our mind and our heart. And oh God, and then we pray, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us how to use this weapon that defies all human weapons and is stronger than anything that we know of. Enable us, Lord Jesus, to stand in your victory and see your victory daily in our lives. And what we pray for ourselves, Lord, we also pray that you will enable us to be victorious warriors, not just for us, but for our families, for our marriages, for our homes, for our community, for our church, for the churches of this land, for this region, for this world. Oh God, enable us, we pray, to be mighty victorious, mighty victors, mighty warriors. Lord, forgive us for just assuming that our faith is just for us and we sit around and play with it and hope to get to heaven someday. Lord, help us remember that you placed us here not just for our salvation, but you've placed us here to do battle with the hosts of hell, to win back many, many, many others until you come again. Lord, stimulate us. Bring us to life, we pray, and cause us to know the victory that you died to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.